Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. I spoke with her this morning. She's actually en route, and so should be back sometime late this afternoon. So, yay. All right. Yeah, so we just pray traveling mercies over her and that God gives her favor along the way and with everyone that she comes in contact with. So, amen. So, thanks for the opportunity to come up here and just share some thoughts with you this morning. It's really a blessing, and it's a great honor, and one that I receive with a lot of humility, but also with a lot of fear and trembling. So, and I just want to say to Bill, man, happy birthday, man. I hope I'm doing as well when I hit 85 as you are, brother. So today is your birthday, right? Yeah, I was thinking you didn't look a day over 85. Oh, okay. So just forget all this stuff we did for you this morning. Just nix it all out. We're going to have to do it all over again in about an hour. 18? Nice. Oh, praise God. Can we pray? Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'm so thankful and grateful for the opportunities that are before us today, that today was a day of new beginnings, that your mercies were new today, Father God. And Lord, that you continue to watch over us. Your eyes are ever going before us. Your word is that lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Father, thank you for the things that you've begun in each and every one of us, God, that you will bring those things about to your completion and maturity. Lord, thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding that we may know the hope of your calling for us in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful that your work is never finished. You never give up on us. You never finish with us, Lord. So, Lord, I ask today that you give us all eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive what you would have to say unto us. And that, Lord, I'm just ever reminded that it's not so important what I say, but what you say, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I say that quite a bit to people, especially with the church planters that I work with every week, that it's never really so much important what I say, but what you hear the Holy Spirit say. Okay? Because he wants to use vessels to speak to us, but he also has a particular thing in mind that he wants to say. And so we're just human, right? And so we have to really have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would want to say to us. And so we have this unique opportunity, because we are Christians, to make spirituality front and center, right? And when I really like it when we pray together, when we come together, when we fellowship with each other, because it's a great time to turn our hearts toward one another, to process things together, and to just have that time of fellowship and be at peace, but it strengthens our togetherness. How many of you have just been so super excited about this time of year politically? A lot of you. Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, no. Yeah, me either. Yeah. I know the civility, right, and the humility that comes out, and all the encouragement that comes forth, and the camaraderie, and just all the amazing debates, and just the cool ads that we get to see at this time of year. Pretty amazing, you know. Yeah. So, but what I find kind of disturbing is what I observe online from believers. The believers' interaction amongst each other is, I just wish that they would manifest more of the fruit of the Spirit. kind of grievous. And one of the fruits of the Spirit that I would like to talk about today is kindness. And so if you go ahead, is slide one on? Oh, it is? Okay, so I'm not going to see it up here? Oh, okay. So I have to trust you? What kind of signal do I, I'm sorry, we didn't work this out ahead of time. What kind of signal do I give you when I want to go to the next slide? Should I just? Cartwheel. Oh, man, Rick, you don't want me to show you up like that. Come on, brother. Try it. Yeah. All right, I'll just have to, like, say something, I guess, okay? All right, thanks, guys. So grateful for you being back there, Izzy and AJ. Thanks, man. Yeah. All right, so we're on the kindness. That's what I want to talk about today. And so sometimes I think kindness gets a bad rap, all right? I think sometimes it just can kind of seem kind of like a granny kind of thing, you know, that I think it's very misunderstood. And I think that it should be underestimated in these days in which we live. Because it can also be a powerful means to which God can reveal his love, bring us to repentance. It's the goodness, it's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. And God says, it is kindness. Is this for me, by the way? All right, thanks. Anybody want some? You guys want some? I'll share. Kindness is a manifestation of love. Slide dos. Kindness is a manifestation of love. It's the expression of love. So to be unkind is to be what? Unloving. To be kind is to be loving. To be unloving is to be ungodly. But to be loving is to be godly. So just a thought here for marriages. How many married folks we got here? Are married, was married, want to be married? Let us know. We'll hook you up. Oh, I don't know where this stuff comes from sometimes. I've been left alone too much by myself, I think. Oh, this last month. All right, so anybody think marriage is a lot of work? Yeah, it's a liar. You know where liars go. All right. Yeah. So we need to be kind to one another, right? Any kind of relationship takes a lot of work, right? To have a good friend, to have a good spouse, to have be in good relationship with our spouse or our friends or our coworkers, our church members, it takes a lot of work. Kindness isn't easy. It's a decision that we choose to make to embrace the grace of God that is shown to us in Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of intentionality. It takes a lot of purpose. It's a work that is ever before us and ever ongoing through us. And we have to, I think, sometimes just raise our awareness of how am I treating this other person? Am I treating them the way I want to be treated, or am I waiting for them to treat me kind until I treat them kind? So we got to let that grace work in us, right? And we got to let the grace work in us and through us and toward the other person in action and in words. Because I think sometimes we just think it's an action. Kindness can be an action word, but it's not. It's also what we say. Be either kind or not. So let's be kind one to another. Be kind to one another. Grace. Love is patient. Love is kind. Evidence that love is the work of God within our heart. Quattro. Glad I don't have very many slides because I can't go very far in Spanish with that. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's a work of the Spirit. It's how the life of Jesus in us, and it's through kindness. It's how the Spirit of manifestation works in us. It's how the Spirit manifests the life of Jesus in us. And that's through kindness. To be kind to one another, tender-hearted, tender in your hearts toward one another, forgiving one another. It takes an intentionality and being proactive in expressing love through kindness. So when we see this caustic harshness or this rampant unkindness, people picking fights with those who have a different view or a different opinion than them, I think it grieves the Spirit of God. And one of the things that the world, we know, views us Christians as a narrative, is not really who we should be known for or who we are. So there was a study done. These next few slides are kind of interesting. There was a study done that was done, someone just, you know, have you ever gone to Google search and you type in, what is, and then it starts filling in a bunch of stuff because of whatever the most popular what is, you know, what do maple trees look, you know, and then it starts typing in a bunch of stuff or whatever. So they typed in, Cinco, they typed in, why are Muslims so? So let me see how that looks up here, see if you can even read it. Yeah, a little bit. Why are Muslims so violent? Why are Muslims so... These are the top things that just popped up in the Google search. Jews. Why are Jews so... And these are the top 10 things that just popped up. I mean, it's just really, I mean, when you think about it, it's just kind of ugly. Because that's what people typed in, right? Why are Jews so? And then they typed it. That was their searching to try and understand them for some reason. But then it came to us Christians, and look at this. Why are Christians so? And as you can see, that these are some of the top hits that when people would type in, why are Christians so stupid, so judgmental, ignorant, hateful, intolerant, etc. Now, some of that might be because we know we have convictions, right? And we know we have an exclusivity to, in terms of our gospel, that we believe Jesus is the only way. There is no truth, there is no life, there is no salvation under no other name given. So obviously the gospel will draw lines. But in terms of our tone, in terms of our attitude and our interactions, I mean, think about it. Would anybody have said that about Jesus? I mean, sure, his messages, you know, they would draw lines for sure, and people would either have to like, yep or nope, and, you know, follow or not follow. But of his person, no one would have said Jesus is mean. Jesus is hypocritical. So when you see this overlay, putting all of these three searches together, you got the circles back there, right? You see, we have some connection with the Muslims, a little bit of connection with the Jews. The Buddhists, they're just over there off on their own. They're happy people, you know, just doing their own thing. But there is something about Jesus in us that should manifest truly like Jesus. So when you see these overlays and putting all of these three searches together of the different narratives, and now this is a broad narrative, right? This is broad generality of what the world thinks of Christians. What do you think we should do about that? How do we get away from that? How do we undo those things? Maybe it's just time for some reflection, right? Maybe we could, as a church, model something different. Maybe we, as a church, because we can't do anything about the churches that are out there around the world and halfway around the world, but we can do something about this church in here, right? But maybe we, as a church, could model kindness, that we will manifest love and the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit of life in us in a kind way, in kindness, to develop a culture of kindness. So I think sometimes people think kindness, being kind, is being nice. Yeah, they think it's being weak. They think, well, that's what granny is, you know, because she's just old and nimble and weak, and so she has to be kind. But that's not so, that's not true. You know, interesting fact, nice was actually became part of our English language about 500 years ago. And at the time, what nice meant was stupid. Yeah. I mean, so today, you know, if we're going to develop, we have to understand the difference of things. Today, nice means pleasant, agreeable, polite, satisfactory. I don't know about you, but I don't. Someone calls me satisfactory, I'm just kind of like, what? That's just really like not knowing what to say. And like down south, I used to live down south, and when somebody'd say, oh, bless their hearts. And if you knew the phrase, you knew what you knew, but a lot of times they wouldn't follow up with it, especially if they're in public, but it was, oh, bless their hearts and their stupid little heads. When someone say, bless their hearts, you just knew what they were really saying. Yeah. And that's kind of like nice. Aren't they nice? I don't know that I mean, it's okay. It's better than being mean. But I'd rather us get to kindness. Kindness in the Webster's Dictionary just simply said friendly, generous, and considerate. I think that's much better than pleasant, agreeable, satisfactory. In Wikipedia, I thought it was interesting, kindness, what they said about kindness there. They said it's a type of behavior marked by acts of generosity, consideration, or concern for others without having an expectation of praise or reward. Kindness was one of the main topics in the Bible. Pretty cool, I thought. Kindness, you know, it's just one of those things. It can be like the golden rule for us. You know the golden rule? Do unto others what you would want them to do unto you. And so kindness can kind of be like that, you know, that we're going to act towards someone like we want them to act toward us. But it's not waiting for someone to act toward us first. It's risky. It's risky because you have to initiate it. You have to be willing to step out there, and you go out of your way to initiate and to be proactive and I will be kind to you. Think about it if you woke up some morning and you just decided, who could I be kind to today? Who could I be considerate toward? Who could I be friendly with? Another interesting thing about the word kindness in the scriptures. The Greek word kindness in the scriptures is this word Christos. C-R-E-S-T-O-S. That's kindness. Christian, yeah, I don't pronounce these right, so that's why you probably said that. Christos, C-R-I-S-T-O-S. Very similar, right? Just one letter difference in their spelling. Christos, the C-R-I one, which is to be Christ-like or Christian. And in the early church, so, you know, like for the first several centuries, they were known as the Christos ones, C-R-E-S-T-O-S, the kind ones. Not just Christ-like, but kind. Kindness was this hallmark of their behavior and who they are. So, think about this. So when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 30, take my yoke upon you, right? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word easy is the same word for kindness, Christos, C-R-E-S-T-O-S. Take my yoke of kindness. It's easy. It's light. You know, the thing about those farmers know, to me, when I think of yoke, I think of old movies I've seen where they've got the oxen out in the field and they've got two of them and they got this big wooden thing over them, you know, and you ever wonder about, like, what's that do to their necks, you know, this wooden thing. It couldn't have been light, you know. They didn't have aluminum back in that days or any other material to use. And so it obviously was heavy for them, but it also would have to chafe them, right? But Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for for my burden is easy and is light, it wouldn't chafe us. There's no chafing with him. He's going to be kind toward us. He's going to bond with us, and it's a bond of kindness. So there's this spirit, the way that Jesus works in us, he works toward us, and it really is kindness. And it's this kindness of God that has brought us to repentance. That's the way he has acted toward us, and it draws us to him. And in the same way, when we manifest kindness, guess what? When we manifest kindness, being kind to other people, guess what? It has a drawing effect. You can have a firm conviction in your heart. You want to be firm and have that firm conviction at the center, but you want to be soft around on the edges. You don't want to have a soft conviction. That's not the answer. Oh, I got to have a soft conviction so I can be nice to people. Okay, maybe, if that's what you want to be. But to be kind to them, you have to have a hard conviction. It's got to be strong in you so that I can be kind to them, so I can be loving toward them, so I can be patient with them. So we're not, because we're not chafing, we're not abrasive, we're not dismissive, we're not pushing away, we're not repelling one another as people. Kindness helps build trust. Kindness helps build relationships. And guess what happens? Then the message can be better received. Nueve. I have to turn around and read it. I don't have it written down. You guys can see that. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Listen, here's something that's really important. So God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him, right? So we are seated with him in heavenly places, right? So that's a part of who we are, our identity, in order that in the coming ages, that's now, okay? That's now. He might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So see, being kind isn't just loving, but it's also providing grace. It comes through grace expressed in his kindness. Grace comes out of that to us in Christ Jesus. Oh. Yes. I'm glad this is all the farther I can go, because this is it. I'm glad I only had 10 slides. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what we're to clothe ourselves with. So the fruit of the Spirit is to be these things. We're to clothe ourselves with this. And out of our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, this stuff will come forth. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, just as Rick was leading us in that song today, we're loved by our Heavenly Father. Clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness. Kindness is a spiritual word. Kindness is a word of maturity. Kindness is a word that takes a lot to do. It takes a lot to be active with. We're not talking about glossing over things, right? We're not talking about going subterranean and pretend that we don't have any differences of views or differences of opinions or differences of thoughts, but how we truly, truly, truly act toward one another. We won't always like everybody. We won't always like every decision everybody makes. I don't like all the decisions my kids make. I don't even like all the decisions my wife makes. I don't like a lot of decisions people make. But that has no bearing in how I treat them. So, So we don't have to always like everybody, but it's really super important. Let's not catch one another being unkind, treating people in an unkind way, in action or in word. What if we could we agree to hold each other accountable toward kindness? That if we see one another out there in the street somewhere, in the workplace, or even here in the church building or at the home, being unkind towards someone, that we call them on it. Hey, don't make me punch you. All right, that wouldn't be being kind, would it? Maybe just punch him in the throat. Maybe that'd be all right. No, we want to hold everyone. We want to hold ourselves accountable to being kind. Gosh, I've already blown it. So, what do you think? Can we do that? We have to represent something different to the world. And so we need. Let's start here. Let's start in our homes or in our workplaces, in our church. Being kind toward one another, tender in our hearts toward one another, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven us in Jesus. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the challenge of your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word and just the instruction that it brings to us, God. Lord, help us all to be more aware of how we treat other people and how we act toward them and how we speak toward them, how we act about them, Lord, and how we speak about them, God. Lord, let us grow up in love. Let us mature in the fruits of the Spirit. And Lord, today let us receive this challenge of kindness. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.